Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Well, momentum is going to carry us back into the White Sox. We'll end up talking about the Bears in just a bit, Brian. The phone calls are hot. I'm worked up over it. You're worked up over it, and you're a Cub fan. I mean, this is just underachievement, and what do we do from here? 312-332-3776. So many issues. Can't really rely on the injury thing anymore. I know we're missing TA. I know we're missing Aloy. We could be dealing with Moncada playing hurt. We don't know, but we do know that he has not played up to his potential. Have we seen what we thought we would see from AJ Pollock? No. Have we seen?
He's a good quote, though, isn't he? Every game, boy, you know, we just got to keep sticking to it. No one's quitting in here, and we just got to keep grinding, and good things will happen. I mean, it's great. You know, how about you contribute on the field as much as
just start doing it. Look, he certainly hasn't been a liability, but has he played up to his expectations? No. Josh Harrison thought that was a decent signing. Decent, not a home run. Decent. You know, that has turned out not to be the case at all. It seems like people come here and put on this uniform and something happens and it's not good.
Thank the good Lord that Jose Abreu has got a 12-game hit streak and starting to
look, he is our quiet leader. I know people say TA is the leader, but I always maintain that Abreu is the quiet leader, and we can't hold him responsible for getting everybody else to play to their potential,
but he can't be one guy.
Right, but he is. Thankfully, we're going to the phones here. 312-332-3776. Charlie in Oak Brook wants to jump on. It's Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000. Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, real quick question. Get your opinion, and then I'll get off the phone and listen to the radio. But when you got the leader, whether it's the president of the United States or leader of a baseball team or other sports team, the buck stops with the boss. The buck stops with the manager, the coach, the whoever. Why is there not more commentary? Why is there not more scrutiny played against Ethan Katz or the batting coach? I mean, I don't even know what the batting coach's name is.
Mendocino.
But, I mean, why aren't they being more scrutinized? Maybe they should be fired. You know, of course, I understand Tony is the leader. He's the one that's supposed to strategize and put together the team and make moves, not trade moves, but moves during a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though that the pitching coach is certainly not doing his job because the pitching is questionable sometimes, and certainly the batting coach, the hitting coach.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Charlie. Last night on the broadcast, Gordon Beckham was talking about Frank Mendocino, the hitting coach. Mm-hmm. And he talked about his experience. Obviously, he played for the White Sox, and he's had experience with hitting coaches for the White Sox and many different teams. And he said, ultimately, the hitting coach can't get up to bat and hit. It's up to the players. And he made a good point. So, I don't know if an adjustment for a pitching coach or a batting coach would be more of a token move, or if it would bring real change.
Okay, you fire the batting coach. I mean, is it a philosophical approach? And when you get veteran guys too, now do you make them go talk to the hitting coach, or do they have to do that on their own? I mean, that there are different approaches, right? Some coaches are the late, stay back until the player wants to come and get help. Other teams are saying, hey, you're scuffling big time. The numbers are terrible. You're going to spend extra time in the cage. You're going to watch more video. You're going to be, have a tutor pretty much. A lot of veteran guys don't want to hear that. So I'm not sure inside that clubhouse or inside that organization how it's handled, and I'm sure it's handled differently for different players. But, it's whether it's that you're firing Mendocino or you're making a bigger move of Tony La Russa, or at some point does Rick Hahn have to answer some questions about this team? I don't know. But something's got to change, because 50 games in, the only thing that changed is your position in the division, and it's going the wrong way.
And, Charlie, also, the fact is, we had the same hitting coach last year, And obviously, last year and this year are two different things. Many of the same players. So, yeah, you know what? You bring up a good point. Thank you for the call. But, yeah, you know, I just don't know what that would yield at this point. And you're right, Brian. How are they using Frank Medicino? We think that Ethan Katz is very hands-on, and you could argue that the starting pitching has been pretty good, pretty solid. Now, Lucas Giolito is maybe taking a little step back, but we've got a Dylan Cease. We've got Kopech. They both have had recent rough outings, but every pitcher is going to have a rough outing from time to time.
I mean, you want to look at Marcus Stroman, right? He was doing well for a stretch of three or four starts, but he's got a 5+ ERA, and he had his career worst outing yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it happens.
Yes,
through the course of 162, any pitcher, you know, not named Bob Gibson or you know, back in the day, I mean, you will have hiccups. You will have stretches of two or three outings where you're not doing nearly. You won't be Dallas Keuchel bad. But
hopefully.
The point is this is not about the you can go look at a handful of games and say they lost because of the bullpen or the starting pitching and the kid came up and you know dug too big.
But the other parts of your game have to be better to overcompensate for those failures, and we don't have that ability to do that right now.
The Cubs, the no-name Cubs, have scored 232 runs this year, and I think they played three or four more games. The White Sox have scored 181. The rebuilding Cubs.
That is really sobering and frightening.
Isn't it? I mean, you're talking about a who's who. I think Steve Greenberg keeps writing it's a who's who of who on the Cubs, right? Short of Wilson, Contreras, you know, and a couple other guys, you don't know who these guys are. You're just learning to get to know, you know, some of the prospects. But offensively, they can hit home runs. And it's not even Seiya Suzuki anymore. I mean, it's Schwindel doing it again. It's Patrick Wisdom, you know. But these guys aren't going to be core pieces to a championship team. But for what they are, they can still put the ball in the bleachers and put some runs up. You know, my system of fading the Cubs when they jump to an early lead, and I immediately go to my sportsbook app and bet the yesterday the Cubs jumped to 4-0 lead, 3-0 lead. I immediately bet the Cardinals on the money line. And, you know, it works pretty well. It's a pretty good system.
Wow. You do have it down. We've got Ron on the south side wants to jump in. Hey, Ron, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning, Zen. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Hey.
I'm good. Hey, real quick, and y'all, you know, when I talk, when I was calling.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the same Madden.
South side,
yeah,
Ron.
It was the same Madden coach last year when the White Sox were in the top third.
Yeah.
As far as taking walks. Same thing about the pitching coach. It's the same pitching coach that people were singing his praise last year.
Right. What has really changed?
Right. But see, I'm looking right at the paper. The guys with the two, I know people don't always pay attention to batting average. The two worst batting averages, Yoan Moncada, 143. Grandal,
162.
Okay. So what are we talking about? So if you certainly, I'm Tony. As and you can always question management, particularly relative to pitching. But the biggest problem with this team is the offense. Okay, you fire Tony. Then what? Who do you replace him with? And again, I'm not saying that he should. The caller mentioned accountability. At the end of the day, the players need to be held accountable, though, guy.
Playing the game, Ron.
Yeah. And then Brian, you mentioned it. Rick Hunt, Gavin Sheets. This is what I say. When they were saying, "Well, we have ample players and depth." To me, when you have three or four, guess what? You don't have one. That means you don't have one good one.
Amen.
That the second base situation. Yeah, you took a gamble. You lost.
Yes,
you don't have it. So again, a lot of those things and. Aloy, him to me, I think he's just going to be an injury-prone player. But the biggest disappointment, guys, to me, the reference really where this White Sox situation is Yoan Moncada. 2 years ago, they were projecting Yoan Moncada to be MVP candidate, 5-2 player.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we can go down. Yeah, we can go down the whole list. These players who are not performing, and you're not going to bring a manager in and come in with some rah rah rah, and they're going to if they don't have it in it themselves to perform, no matter who's going to make a difference of a couple of games. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Ron. Always appreciate
it. Yeah, look, he's got great points. Who do you bring in? I mean, that's the million-dollar question. And the accountability does fall on the players. I don't care. You know, the game is the game is the game. He can put a lineup together, but when you get the call to be in the lineup, you have to play your best. Yeah, you know, the mistakes that have been made, we can't see repeated. Hopefully, we will not see that Mendick issue. Although I will say that Reese McGuire, if he would have run through, he might have made it home by the time that play unfolded at second back on Tuesday. I mean, you know, inside a week, there's so much to talk about with the White Sox. It's almost overload when we get here on a Saturday, Brian.
Yeah, it really is, and it's not in a good way.
No.
I mean, we're a third of the way through the season. We thought we'd be talking about, you know, how good is this team, and, you know, once they get fully healthy, you know, can they make a run at the World Series? Right now, yeah. I mean, as we sit here today, and I know it's a long season and it's a marathon and all that stuff.
Yeah, but every time we say that, it's a week further into the season, and yep, that's going to run out at some point, and it's starting to look a little dicey.
No doubt, no doubt. And you know, if people truly believe that the GM has his hands strung by Kenny Williams, who's we don't see it, you know, anymore, but he's still there, and by certainly Jerry Reinsdorf. Not only with the manager, I'm just talking about what he would, you know, everyone saw that Dallas Keuchel had to go, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what do you do about second base? Yoan Moncada was the centerpiece of that Chris Sale deal. It's not been good enough, nearly consistently enough. And by the way, the guy they asked for and the Red Sox said no, Andrew Benintendi is going to be traded by Kansas City at some point. They won't be trading in the division of the White Sox, but you know, they settled for Moncada because the Red Sox said try again, you know, instead of pushing that and getting the guy they actually wanted
right
in that deal.
Right.
Moncada looks the part. I mean, good Lord, it looks like, you know, you could out of central casting if you're making a baseball movie. But those numbers are bleak.
They are. And every time he seems to, you know, get to another level, it's not sustained. He gets injured. Same thing with Aloy. So we really don't know who we have in those two players right now. And these are the players that were heralded as the youth, the big cornerstones of yep the next run at the World Series. We're going to continue to take your calls on the White Sox here on ESPN 1000 after we take a break. Owen's on hold, and we've got some other calls to get to. It's Hanley and Xander, and we want to know what we've got that Twitter poll that we'll recap when we come back, and we want to take your calls on this. What's the big move that they have to make at this point? And if you're not worried, talk us off the ledge. We'd appreciate it. It's ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Brian Hanley, Mark Xander, ESPN 1000 in the First Midwest Bank studio. On a Saturday, talking White Sox, the phones are loaded. Brian, we've got Wes in Orland Park wants to jump in. Hey, good morning, Wes. What up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
It's good.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's burying Tony La Russa. I know he's old. He knows the game. I think he ought to pick two people to come in and advise. One is Dave Duncan, and the second is Mark McGuire.
Interesting. So Dave would Dave would come and talk to Ethan Katz, and McGuire would come in and talk to Mendicino.
I really
think they can tweak. They come in for 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I think they can tweak not only the pitching but the hitting.
Will Mark bring the Flintstone vitamins?
He probably would.
Yeah, and I thought you were going to say Bill Polian could also come in.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure Bill could help out somehow. I'm not sure how.
He knows.
Thanks, Wes, for the phone call. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, that's interesting. Look.
Outside the box thinking.
Yeah, very much so. You know, do you have somebody come in? You know, every business has consultants, do you have somebody come in to consult the consultants? What needs to be done?
Maybe a Jason Hayward locker room speech? A couple of those?
Oh, he got rain delay. Yeah. He's available.
Again, we're not paying for that, and we'll do it on Zoom. We're not letting him in the clubhouse.
He's available if you want to.
Yeah, I know he's available. That's the problem.
You want to pick up the year and a half left on that unbelievable contract.
No. Get him a Starbucks gift card for a Zoom session.
I will say this. So MLB.com has a story today about who's most likely to be traded by the August 2nd deadline. Mm-hmm. And right out of the box, it's Wilson Contreras. And one unnamed baseball executive said, he was very surprised that he hasn't been moved yet, and certainly in the offseason, but we know he's in arbitration. We know he's trying not to talk about his situation because, as a Wilson Contreras fan, I appreciate it. He said he learned last year from Chris Bryant and Rizzo and Javi. He didn't name which ones or any of or all of them, but the talk in the clubhouse was all about them.
He learned that's impressive.
But the thing is, this baseball executive said, it will be a stunner of all stunners if Contreras isn't moved by the trade deadline. So Rick Hahn, if you need to upgrade, and our Twitter poll is,
Want him on the south side in the baddest way.
You?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the biggest upgrade you need? Second catcher, second base, third base, or manager?
Well, if Jesse were here, he would tell you a left-hand bat, which I don't disagree with, because we have Leury Garcia, switch hitter.
Tony loves Leury.
That's the problem, Brian.
That's our Netflix TV series, right?
That's off-season. We're letting the baseball season play out. Then you have Moncada, switch hitter. We have Grandal, switch hitter. So these are mediocre left-handed options. We've got Sheets, and he's a young player, and certainly the jury is not totally out on him.
No, but a few weeks ago it was like, hey, everyone's barreling the ball, and it's just not falling where it should.
Right.
Everything's going to be fine because the approach is great. Well, here we are. I don't have to say again, you've scored 181 runs. Okay, the Cubs have scored 232.
Absolutely hurts. All right, Nick is in. He's in the Midway neighborhood, I guess. Yep. Discussing the hitting coach with us on ESPN 1000. Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
How are you? Love your show. You guys are great.
Thank you. So you want to talk about Frank Medicino?
I do. You know what? I just think, I know they're not as paid as the head coaches, and I know all the questions about the players going up to the – do they have to go up to them or they go up to them? And, it's the whole prima donna thing. I just think Tony's got his hands full and the hitting coach is still a job. I just don't understand the approach. Like, how do you not go up to guys? It's like – they have no idea what the situation is. Less than two outs, runners in scoring position. I mean, you ask anybody in the minor leagues or anyone that's played college ball to get people out of the slump, maybe get people in motion, a little more small ball, maybe hitting and running.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many players that cannot hit to the opposite side of the field, with shift or not. And I'm watching guys, I just think, in my opinion, they want to stay in the major leagues, and they're just worried about their own stats. And how many times are you going to watch the rollover ground ball with, and these lefty hitters that we keep talking about, all the experiments from Adam Dunn and Leroy. I mean, we have a whole career of guys.
Oh, Adam Dunn. Oh, my God. Yasmani's having an Adam Dunn-like year.
It's terrible.
It is.
And you know what? I don't understand. I don't get the urgency, but, maybe a little something. I mean, you're grasping at straws. And we're waiting for the witch doctor to walk up. How about walking up to somebody and say, hey, know the situation. We got less than two outs. But how are we leaving guys on base? You're looking for a fly ball. Push the ball over. Maybe not be so selfish. And that's all. That's what I call it. I call it selfish hitting. You're worried about your average. You're worried about staying in the major leagues. You want to be a part of this team. But I don't know. I mean, a little hitting and running gets you thinking more about your teammate. Moving the guy over. Putting the bat on the ball. And being more of a team player, maybe you push some of these guys out of a slump. The only other thing I do want to talk about, and I'll listen to your response.
Yep.
Like I say, Tony La Russa, I don't know how much you can blame Tony La Russa. He's got a bag of players that are not major league players, half of them. We're hoping for this rebuild that we did a while ago to come true. I think we went very cheap, and we had our fingers crossed the entire time with the Garcia signing and the Harrison signing. I don't know. It's just like to keep the interest of the fan to come in and spend your money. And, you know, how much do you want to win? I mean, we're hurt up and down this lineup. And I just think now's the time if you want to bring up that Yolbert Sanchez or maybe get a few more young guys.
Yeah, you make a good point, Nick. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, Sanchez, I would love to see them just bring him up and just say, Harrison, either DFA him or sit him down. Leury, I don't complain about him being signed. Honestly, Brian, I complain that he's being used so much.
Exactly, right.
And now we have to use him because TA's out. Berger, we haven't mentioned him yet. I think he has been a bright spot. He's a young guy from AAA that we're leaning on. Bring up Sanchez. Send a message to some of these veterans that, you know, look, the youth is here. Either play up to your potential or, you know what, you don't have a future here.
I was a little concerned, Mark, that when he brought up Adam Dunn, we were going to have to get smelling salts for
him. Oh, my God.
And then when he went slump buster, I was worried where he was going with that. But maybe Tony needs to call like a theme trip, a onesie trip or the skinny suit trip, the Joe Madden.
You know, oh, yeah, the Joe Madden playbook. Simon
the magician in the clubhouse, you know. Maybe he needs, you know, I can't see Tony doing that, but, you know, whatever works.
Owen and Don, they're on the line. We are going to get to you when we come back here on ESPN 1000 talking White Sox. What do we need to do? And today is, before we get out of here at 11, today is an interesting day in White Sox history.
It's Caleb Killian Day.
Sorry. Yeah. And Don, who is on hold, wants to talk about trade deadline thoughts for the Cubs. So we'll be talking Cubs when we come back, too. And again, before 11, we will recount what happened on this day 50 years ago on the South Side. It's a cool story. It's Xander and Hanley. This is ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
86 pitches in this game so far, so, you know, he's getting a little tired, and the changeup was a little easier to read, but he might reach back for a little extra against this guy.
Abreu launches deep left center. It's going to go. What was that?
He tried to reach back. He didn't have it. He's just not as dynamic, and it was noticeable now on three pitches here in this inning.
Oh, wait a minute. We found a highlight. Brian?
Adam on the ropes.
Oh, Jake, thank you. Jake has been working for like a couple hours trying to find that one. Actually, that was a bright spot in the game last night. Sox and...
Rays?
Yeah, Sox and Rays. Yeah. You know, I'm Rays, Jays. I mean, it's all just a blur of losing
and
tough baseball to watch.
The Rays, the announced attendance was 8,900 and change.
That amazes every time. Their attendance is horrible.
And they keep talking about building, you know, that stadium was built for the White Sox, by the way, you know, when Jerry was threatening to move, Eddie and Jerry were moving the team, and Jim Thompson was governor, and he stopped the clock. It had to be passed by midnight. It was passed after midnight. I went down there shortly thereafter, after they opened up that godforsaken dome. DePaul was playing some basketball tournament down there, not the NCAA tournament. It was like a 7-up shootout or something like that. But to keep thinking that the White Sox could have moved down there, and baseball's a rumor, in that city is unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, I forgot all about that.
They put good teams out,
and they do, and they don't have, well, they can't afford to have a big payroll because nobody shows up, but they still have the skill to be able to put the team together, which they should hold a clinic, and ownership from both sides of town here should attend.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, teams like St. Louis and Tampa, they just, you know, they don't take losing for granted. They don't say, yeah, well,
they do it. They work smarter, not harder, and not necessarily throwing money away.
Well, the Cubs are drawing they'll sell out today, probably a doubleheader with Cardinals in town. A lot of St. Louis fans
up
there.
Yeah, sure.
But even during the week, now that schools are out, they're averaging 30, 31,000. Their payroll's down to 148 million. It's the best of all worlds for the Ricketts family.
Well, they're just looking at the margin and not worried about fielding a winning baseball team. Yeah, it's a good business model.
They're saving 100 plus million on the payroll, and then 31,000 buying beer and overpriced souvenirs and concessions will work just fine.
And staying at the Zachary.
$1,500 for two nights stay.
Over $1,500.
For two nights.
Yep. Owen from Willowbrook wants to jump on and talk about Rick Hahn and the White Sox. You're on with Hanley and Xander. What's up, Owen?
Hey, guys. Great show. You guys mentioned Hahn, and I actually put this on him and maybe a little bit on Williams, too, because those guys and their profile, they've always gone after free swingers. I gave him credit when they drafted Madrigal. Because Madrigal, if you think about last year, at the first half of the year, he was getting on base two or three times a game with Anderson, and they were winning without hitting home runs. They lose him. What do? They trade him for a washed-up reliever. Collins, a first-round draft pick, is gone. We go out and get Yasmani Grandel, who the guy said he reminds me of Adam Dunn behind the plate. You basically have told fans, don't worry, we're going to go out and spend money for 5 years while we tank. And who do they sign? Harrison and Garcia. They could have gone after Bryant. They could have gone after Trevor Story. Last year when Madrigal gets hurt, they couldn't pull the trigger on Adam Frazier. San Diego picked up Adam Frazier for two minor leaguers and a journeyman. Now, maybe those guys aren't hitting great, but all I'm saying is I put it on Hahn. I don't think the guys – great at evaluating talent. The one guy I give him credit for is Vaughn and Robert. Those guys are studs, and they're going to be good ball players for a long time. But for them to go out and just get free swingers, you saw in the playoffs last year, they have guys that do not grind against tough pitching. They have guys that don't get on base against tough pitching. Their offense disappeared. They've been under 500, not just this year, since the All-Star break of last year.
Yeah, it has
and,
been.
And the kid we got from the Cubs, that Jimenez, gets hurt all the time, and he isn't what he's supposed to be. The kid, maybe it's because he's been hurt, but this kid, for average, he was a bust last year when he came back. And I'm telling you, I put this stuff on Hahn, and it's time to clean house with him and Williams. And I'll always be grateful for those guys getting us to 2005. But even Williams, when he saw we won in 2005, and I love Jim Thome. Jim Thome's a great guy. He broke that chemistry up and didn't sign Rowan, and we struggled in center field for years. Those guys love free swingers. They love guys that hit the ball out of the park. And if you look at most pitchers today, they love facing free swingers in a tough spot.
Yeah, they
rather do. Than a guy that's going to put the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
And I put it strictly on Hahn.
Thanks, Owen. We appreciate it. Yeah, you know what? We don't know to what degree Hahn's hands are tied. Did he want Trevor Story and he was prevented from making an offer to Trevor Story?
Yeah, right.
We don't know that. Look, I mean, Trevor Story, after we saw what he did to us, you know, he had a slow start with the Red Sox and then all of a sudden he just caught on. It's like, oh my God, we could have had that.
Well, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's out of the altitude. He's not going to be anything. And,
I know. What BS.
But you know, our caller seems to be in a minority because on Twitter, it was like, oh, Rick Hahn can't do anything he'd like to do. He could start fixing this thing if he was just left to his own devices. And, you know, but Jerry and Kenny are the ones telling him, nope, we're not.
Yeah, we really don't know. And we can assume, because of who is managing the baseball team, that he does have to answer to somebody. He doesn't have complete autonomy.
Well, I mean, does AK, because Michael Reinsdorf is running the Bulls, is it a different dynamic? Because Michael, you know, we played those cuts weeks ago where he said, I knew I was hiring a smart guy, and I I'd let him do what he's supposed to do.
To me, that's the only way. If you're a team owner, you have the money. You don't necessarily have the smarts to put a team together. Hire the right people and let them do their job.
Yeah. Hey, the best thing that Tom Ricketts ever did, other than talk his dad into giving him the money to buy the Cubs,
is hiring Theo.
That's exactly right. And Theo, you know, probably ran stuff by Tom, but he didn't take no for an answer if he really wanted to do something.
And that's the position. Sometimes you have to fight. yep. for your right to party. You know what I mean? All right, Don in Burridge wants to talk about the Cubs. Hey, Don, welcome into ESPN 1000.
Love the show. Hey, I got some trade thoughts dealing with the Cubs. Cubs keeps on talking about, yeah, we're going to spend money and contend. Well, the biggest issue I see with the Cubs is pitching. I know it would be a little bit early to start on going after people, but if I was a Cubs, I would spend some of the minor league talent to go after Montas and Molly from Cincinnati. And pitching wins championships. The Cubs have one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. I would also try to trade Contreras to the Toronto Blue Jays.
No, White Sox.
What's that?
White Sox.
To the White
Sox? We'll take Dylan Cease back.
No.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but I would trade Contreras to Toronto for Jansen, the catcher, and I would ask for Nate Pearson. One thing that I would also do is any of the young stud pitchers for the last couple of years that throw 97 up that haven't performed, go after them. Get them very cheap. On the south side, I would be targeting Kettle Marte for second base. I know that Arizona has talked about moving him, and Berger would be the top person I would throw in on that trade to help out. The caller earlier said something about three swingers. The two biggest issues with the Sox is their defense is horrible, and nobody can take a walk. I mean, Tim Anderson, for how many years, 17 walks. Yeah, he's hitting 320, but he's got a 340 on-base percentage with that 320 average. Roberts, what is he, 25 walks a year? They can't get on base. So
But I will say this, Don, when they do get on base,
can't get them in.
They can't get them in. So they do get on base. They just can't get them in. And it's something mental because they're not walking. So they're hitting their way on base, but they're not knocking anybody in, which is just, I mean, it's confounding. Thank you, Don, for the phone call. One more before we're up against break. And then when we come back, we will talk about what happened on this day 50 years ago on the South Side. We'll go to David in Wakanda. Hey, David, you're on ESPN with us.
How you guys doing? David Spada here. The Sox have their answer. Put Yoan Moncada back at second. The guy hit 16 home runs. It's about 260. And let Berger play third. He was a first-round pick. And that's your best option right now since they're not going to spend money. I know why La Russa's stuck on Josh Harrison and these other guys.
You know, you got a
base.
Good point. And I thought they were going to work out Berger at second base, and I haven't really heard anything beyond that. But Berger should be in the lineup every day at this point with what we're looking at.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, there are options. And Sanchez from AAA is an option, too, and we'll see where they go. We are going to take a break. We'll come back, talk about what happened 50 years ago today on the South Side. It's a cool story. If you're not aware of it, we'll run that down. We've got Peggy and Dion coming in after us, and then we get to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000 at 1:30 with Tyler Aki. So a lot going on here. Stick with us. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Handy and Xander on ESPN 1000 50 years ago today, June 4th, 1972. In the second game of a doubleheader with the Yankees, Sox manager Chuck Tanner wanted a certain someone to be ready to pinch hit if needed.
At the moment, you'd have to say that Richie Allen is the best hitter in the American League.
All right, Frank, you've set up a very dramatic moment in this game. Lyle against Richie Allen. What a battle. The two top men facing each other. The pitch. Oh, he freed one. And the ball game is over. Holy cow, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Richie Allen pinch hits a 3-run homer. Oh. Unbelievable. I know it happened, but I can hear that scoreboard going off.
Brian, they didn't even use the word walk-off back then, did they?
Who was on the call there?
I don't know. Sounds so old-timey. 50 years ago, 50 years is 50 years, but I can kind of remember 1972, so I'm old as well.
It wasn't Harry Carey, but there was a holy cow in there.
Yeah. So now we know that Harry stole that from somebody.
I grew up as a Cubs fan, so I was listening to Vincent Liu back in the day.
Not totally sure, but the backstory to this, as you well may know, that Richie Allen or Dick Allen, depending on Harry used to call him Richie Allen.
Right.
At the time, he was supposed to be ready to pinch hit in the last of the ninth if needed. At the time, he was wolfing down a chili dog. Yeah. Since he had played in the first game, he was hungry. So he's sitting out the nightcap and was hungry. He quickly had to put on a uniform, getting the last of the chili dog all over the top of it. So with a stain on his uniform, he got up to bat and he hit that home run. A legendary story.
He used to smoke in the dugout.
Yes, he did.
He used to have a cigarette.
Oh, on Sports Illustrated, there was a cover of him juggling baseballs with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he went over to McCuddy's and got beers between innings, like, Babe supposedly did back in the day, but.
I'm not sure about the beer, but he definitely had the chili dog, and he was rushed to finish it and put on a uniform. He got that stain. And he got up to bat and did what they paid him to do. And at the beginning of that call, he said, that announcer, whoever that was, said, he is probably the best hitter in the American League. And I just wish, as a youngster, I remember him playing. I wish we had him for longer. Why we didn't keep him?
Jake, do us a favor. Call down to Tampa and order a mess of chili dogs for the Sox clubhouse.
I got it.
Right.
See if that works the magic.
Now, Brian, are we going to have to time it? Yeah, to where these chili dogs are for somebody who comes up to pinch hit, or just everybody eats them?
Just pregame meal. Everybody eats them.
F3.
Yeah. You know what? Look, you might as well try something because I'm not sure what is going to work at this point. We keep saying, we can't say the weather anymore. We can't really say the injuries anymore except for T.A. and Aloy. But we've had a couple of callers point out Aloy and Moncada. Are these players that are really going to reach the potential that we've been told about?
And we had a Twitter poll question today because there's a lot of areas that need upgrading. And Jake, I hope Jerry Reinsdorf isn't listening, or certainly Tony La Russa are not listening, because what were the results of that poll?
Yeah, what upgrade do White Sox need most at this moment? Catcher, second baseman, third baseman, manager.
Yeah, I hope Tony La Russa isn't listening to me right now, because manager's at 68.9%. Second base is at 17.3, and then everything else is at the bottom. You got catcher at 9.9%, and then third base at 3.9%.
I want to say I'm in the club of Yasmani is going to catch a gear at some point.
He's got to.
Look, it's been frustrating as hell. Do not get me wrong. I am not an apologist for him, but we saw what happened last year early on. I don't know, his legs or something, his knees, he had issues or something. That's got to come around. But the second base thing is really aggravating, because I really thought Han might have stolen Harrison based on what he's done in previous years. That is not the case. And we really should have made a big signing, impactful. But how much control does he have? We just don't know, do we?
Hey, Mark, if that was a radio call, David Spada, who just called in, texted me, that in the 1971-72, it was Harry Carey and Ralph Foucher.
Oh, was that?
That was a radio call. If it was TV, it was Jack Breeze and Bud Kelly, but there was a holy cow in there.
It just didn't sound like him.
Harry Carey.
Very, very old-timey baseball. All right, so we got to get out of here. Peggy and Dion will follow us, and then at 1:30, actually 12:30, Tatheraki will have White Sox Weekly, and then 3:10 Connor McKnight on the play-by-play. And we got White Sox, we got to get a win. So let's get out of here, make way for Peggy and Dion coming up next here on ESPN 1000. Brian, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
10 a.m. You've been warned.